We'll convene the meeting of the Finance Administration Committee Budget Hearings.
Just raise it up.
6 o'clock, we'll take up the county clerk's budget. Page 293.
She's on time.
Yep.
Supervisor Singer will be here. He said he'd be just a little bit late.
Thank you.
293.
293.
There we go. Hello, Terry.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the Finance Committee. My budget's pretty open. There's not a whole lot of changes in it. We have a little bit of overtime added to it for the fact that we, with the recounts, recalls, and all the elections that went on this past year, we created overtime, and we anticipate we may have that again. We don't know what's going forward with the elections. Our election cost, I noticed the executive had adjusted that down somewhat. My concern is the fact that we are going to be doing 4 elections next year. That's why we increased it, and I don't know if there will be recall elections. This past year, we had to do a budget modification and take money from the general fund. So we wanted to make sure that we had enough money in there. Publication and notices, again, that was due to additional advertisements and publication noticing for the elections, that our costs were increased by that. On the revenue side, our passport revenue has gone up quite a bit more than what we anticipated. To date, we're at $60,000 in revenue. $25,000 of that is the passports. So we anticipate that that will be increasing.
On the expense side, what did you have in there for elections?
For elections, I had put in for $125,000. It's a presidential election coming up also, which is a lot more expensive than the other elections that we've had in the odd years.
Says 89.
Well, 89 is what the executive adopted budget. I had put in $125,000. They decreased it by $36,000. And what we did this past year is we were going to be short of money, and they put it in a separate account for the recall elections versus taking it out of our election supplies. That's why it shows that we still have this much left in our election supplies, because it was taken from a different account. They wanted to keep it separate from our actual election supplies.
In the presidential year, or how did you establish the $125,000 number?
I looked back at what we paid out in 2008 during the presidential year, and actually decreased it somewhat because we do our own in-house programming now, which saves a lot of thousands of dollars actually per election. So we decreased it from what was there. I believe at that time it was up like 170 some thousand. So I talked with Barna. We looked over our different figures from the previous elections and went by 2004, I believe would be the next one before that, and we kind of came up with a figure that we thought would be comparable for those elections coming up.
Supervisor Brady.
Comment again about the passport situation you alluded to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, and what was your comment?
I thought you had a comment on what I was saying. Our passports, I looked at what we had brought in so far this year on passports. It's a little over $25,000. Our anticipated revenue that we had originally budgeted for 2011 was $8,500. So we're well over that figure, and we aren't even through the full year yet. So we're anticipating that that's going to increase every year. The post office actually has been passing them over to us because they don't have the manpower to do it. It's more customer friendly at our office too. You don't need to make appointments. You can come in whenever it's convenient for you. So we've been increasing every day. We've been doing more and more passports. So I'm anticipating that that revenue will keep increasing each year.
So you're saying this year revenue will be exceeding $25,000?
It's already, yeah.
Okay, because it doesn't show up there.
No, it doesn't show here. I actually went in and printed it up out of our revenue accounts.
Okay.
The amount of money that we brought in already for passports, and it's a little over $25,000 at this point in October, at the end of October, and we still have all of November and all of December.
So what's your proposed for next year, for 2012?
$20,000 is what's in there right now, but it probably will be more.
Then on the first page with your FTEs, I see there's a change from office associate to senior office associate. Do you have a comment on that?
Yes. I requested that due to the fact that our office associate that's in there now is actually doing crosswork with our chief deputy, who gets paid considerably more. Her duties have increased with the passports, with keeping spreadsheets on the passports and on different things that we're doing, and with the tax deed properties. She calculates and keeps spreadsheets on the interest penalties and that what properties were sold and where the money's going. So her duties have increased tremendously. She's actually saved us money by doing in-house printing of the directory, which has saved us about $3,000 to $6,000 a year. Now anything we get is actually revenue on the directories, versus before we were lucky if we broke even on them.
Okay.
So there's definitely a need for that. I actually would have liked another half-time person in my office, but we're hoping to at least get a bump up for that person to keep her in that office and give her credit where credit is due.
So what's the net budgetary impact of that bump up?
It's just under $2,000. It's $1,505 according to the executive adjustments on here. I don't know the exact number.
That's fine.
Plus a few benefits.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The only question I have, Al Swartz or Dave, what was our justification to knowing prior year election numbers were so much higher and we cut them back so far?
We had a person in our office review that with the clerk, and they based on the fact that we're printing things and doing some of our in-house work, we felt very comfortable, and the clerk felt very comfortable with the number we have in the budget.
So in an election year, if there's not a recall election and a presidential election year, you think the $89,000 and the $26,000 is...
We're very comfortable with that number.
Any other...
I'll move approval, Mr. Chairman.
It's been moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor Grady. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This part of the budget is tentatively approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's 6:09. Register of Deeds. Is she here yet? We have the treasurer here. We'll take the treasurer. 6:09, we'll take the treasurer at this time.
Page one.
It is on page 301.
The woman with the money.
Evening. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
Awesome. Okay. Yourself.
We're hanging in there. We can meet for everybody. I think it's pretty straightforward. The big changes on mine were probably on the expense side, the increase in chargebacks for taxes was $12,000, and the increase in delinquent tax advertising fees was $3,000 was an increase. That comes forth, the $12,000 is we've seen an increase in palpable errors, and whenever there's palpable errors, if we get charged back for the portion of palpable errors, that's where that's come from, and we derive that number because that's about what we're over in the budget this year, is just under $12,000, so we wanted to play it safe since we know there are some more chargebacks coming next year, so that's why we're planning for that. The increase in the advertising fees for the delinquent taxes follows suit. We have increased revenue from delinquent taxes. There's going to be more advertising that goes through, so we need a bigger gap to play with as we wait for people to pay off after we advertise. So that's where that number is coming from as well. On the revenue side, I think you'll see a further adjustment from what we've been seeing recently, is that we've been increasing the revenue from the interest and penalty on delinquent taxes, and then we decreased the interest on investments because we've yet to see those interest rates recover. And that, again, is based on what we're seeing this year. Both those numbers are in line with what we're actually getting this year. So it's actually just almost exactly what we have to date in interest and penalty revenue is what we're budgeting for next year. So I don't think it's an overreach in the revenue there. The reduction of $25,000 from the egg use conversion charge. You all know nobody's building anything. If nobody's building anything, we're not getting egg use conversion charges. So it makes sense to reduce that line further. Any other questions that came about when you were looking at that?
Supervisor Gans.
I move to approve the budget as presented.
Moved by Supervisor Gans, second by Supervisor O'Day. The only question I have is, being the close proximity of your office to the clerks, and the, I heard the clerk say maybe she wanted a half-time position. Is there any way that you one department has peaks and valleys where you guys, if you guys had a bigger pool of employees together?
That was kind of the dream when we originally took the half-time position from my office and put it into the floater elected officials position. Unfortunately, when you have one part-time position that's covering four offices and covering the kitchen at 45 and 50, it's literally I get that position 4 days a month, sometimes up to 6 or 7 days a month. But it's very rare that when I need her, somebody else doesn't. For example, this next month, another part-time position in my office is moving to Louisa's office to become full-time. And I asked for her as many days as I could get because we're getting ready to do tax bills and we don't have time, and I received her for 5 days out of the entire month of November. So the problem is that there's just not currently enough time. I would love another part-time person too, but let's be realistic, in this budget time, that's not feasible. So I don't think any of us think that's going to happen. But of course, added personnel would be great. The problem sometimes is that she often will need help on Fridays because she's busier with passports on Fridays, and then she's also busier with doing your packets and things like that on Fridays. I'm also busier on Fridays too. People are getting paid, they're coming and making tax payments. At the end of the month, we're both kind of busy for the same reasons.
So you guys are busy at the same time.
Yeah,
if you pulled all your employees together, that's what I was more thinking. Yeah. There's no way of...
No, not really, because a lot, and there are so many overlapping deadlines now with the way the election cycles are falling. Often she's trying to train people and do things for elections. At the same time, we're doing settlement for taxes. So that's often a problem. We even looked at, you know, with sharing printers or copy machines. It's often difficult because when I'm printing statements, it's often when she's doing your budget packet. So having one machine and both of them, and we're both busy at the same time, is sometimes hard.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? This portion of the budget is tentatively approved. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, it's 6:15. The Register of Deeds is just on time.
Okay,
Page 307.
I'm doing three budgets, so which ones would you like to address first? I thought maybe you might address Al's first, because he is here. If you have any questions, I'll work with you. The Land Information Office.
However you
but
choose.
However you want to do it.
You're the boss, however you choose
okay.
to proceed.
Well, I think just so that we can move a little quickly and have Al leave, I think we should probably do the Land Information Office. If you want to, pages that I have might be different than yours. But.
216.
Oh.
Yeah. 315.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same.
317. As you know, this is probably the first year that it has fallen under my division, and both Al and I have worked together with his budget. It's probably been one of the first times he's been involved with his budget. So I think that's important, and hopefully it'll look out even more so in the future. His budget is pretty minimal. It has followed pretty much the ratios of the previous budget time, except for the slight increases for salary that are normally taken that we don't have really much to do much with ourselves because of the fact that that's set by the negotiations. The executive did make an adjustment under the personnel, and that's because we're going to be having a GIS person in our office, which is very important for our programming with the land information money. So he'll be able to do some other jobs and other work in our offices. That's going to be very substantial for us, I think, in the future. Al and I have had some discussions on plans in the future, and as we formulate them, we'll keep you abreast of some of the new things that we may be able to create. And hopefully be able to do that'll be an asset to our county as well as provide maybe other sources of revenue. So if anybody has any other questions, we'll be here to try to address them for you.
Supervisor Grady.
I see where your full-time equivalents have gone from 3 persons to 4 persons in the 2012 budget. Then taking a look at the item line salaries, approximately from 168 to 228. Is that wholly due to the addition of an FTE, or is there other things involved?
Actually, it's isn't it that addition of our GIS person? Yeah, it's the GIS person.
So
that we're bringing under our envelope into our office. So that's for that reason. And then the typical adjustments for salary increases that they get throughout the year.
For the existing employees?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So, just so I have this correct, this is the first year that Al has been involved with the budget. We added a position.
No, we didn't. We absorbed the position. We absorbed the position. And, you know, typically, it was very, as everyone knows, it's been on the redistricting committee. They did a lot of work with the mapping, and it was very fortunate that he was there, because really a lot of the information that goes into that program does come from our office, not so much the redistricting, but the numbers, sales, and different things. They play a very important role in what Al does in his office on a daily basis. What was lacking is the upgrading of those maps, and now we believe that with that person being in Al's office, we're going to be far more on top of a lot of that for the future. And I think that's going to be a big benefit for the county, personally.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. You can ask Al, and I'm sure he'll agree.
See you Monday.
So what's the next one?
If you want, we can go to the elected services.
Sure.
Again, this is a very minimal budget, as you know. There has been no increases there. And again, this is an office where we do utilize the floater position. It's only a one-person office, and this allows our staff person out there vacation time that's due to her and coverage when she's sick or any emergency that comes in. And that's kind of mandatory. That was even in the job description, those solid 2 weeks during that period of time of taxes as well. So she does serve a great service for all of us. And I think that to your compliment that we did do something like this, because it's kind of unusual to have a floater person that goes to office and is trained. So I thank all of you for supporting that when we did ask you for that. But otherwise, the only adjustment, again, was just due to the insurance changes. If you notice, there was a reduction in that particular area, and that's due to the medical insurance increase that we've had throughout the county. But otherwise, her budget is exactly the same, other than slight increases for salary. And she has, I actually did bring a 9-month report, and it does show the different collections for that. If anybody is interested, I'll be happy to provide that for you. I know that something I think was brought up last time, and I'd be happy to give each one of you a copy so you have that in your record as well. Is there any other questions that you might have? Okay. And then we'll get to the Register of Deeds office. As you know, last year we did a reduction of personnel, and we do feel it, but we are working it out, and we have finally accomplished our move to the lower level, and that's working out quite well as well. It's good for me because I'm there and I can supervise much easier from being on the same floor than on two floors. So again, I thank you for the support in that. Our budget is pretty much the same. I think there's only a slight increase, and that's in the fee that is charged for servicing our copy machines and things, the typical salary. We did have a reduction, again, also because of the medical insurance benefits that we received through the hard work of Bob back here. And there again, it's really quite the same as last year. There's really no changes. We didn't really increase anything.
Supervisor
Gantz. I'd like to have increased revenue, but...
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Gantz, second by Supervisor Singer. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Register of Deeds. Budget is tentatively approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have planning and development here.
Planning and development.
George here.
So, the clerk's George here.
The clerk's changed that.
Yeah, what we'll do is the Division of Personal Services is.
Probably.
Yep, we'll do that.
I'm sure.
It's 6:24. We'll do the Division of Personal Services.
Get it out of sequence.
Okay.
I'm sure it's pumpkin color shirt.
I'm just going to go dress my cat.
That's right.
Morning, how are you, buddy?
That's your troops?
Yeah. I appreciate going earlier.
We're on page 345.
You know to hang around, right?
365.
Okay.
I have extras of just about everything. And I will bring them in as soon as I'm done reporting. But I did want to tell you all that at the last meeting that we had, Supervisor Rose requested that we do an analysis of what the effect of Act 10 has had on our employees.
Okay. I think, is that going to come into play when we're dealing with resolutions down in the... Or is that Monday night that we're gonna hear?
Well, I just want to make sure you have this.
Okay, we do have it.
Yeah.
We handed
okay.
Our history.
Getting out of the budget, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'll start with the general division.
No, we can talk about it. Whatever you like.
Like many of the budgets you've probably seen already, ours has no change. We can tell the line on everything going on down the line for personnel services. In your review, did you find anything you'd like to ask me about?
We're at 345?
That was 349.
Under your list here of personnel, you have the foreclosure coordinator increased slightly.
Yes.
Is that taking more time? Are there more people involved?
It is taking significantly more time, and in fact, the vast majority of our work is being done in foreclosure now. And as you will see in our foreclosure budget, which is the one that follows the personnel budget on page 350, is a self-sustaining budget, and she's actually generating revenue to the extent that, and because of the increased volume, we have decided to increase her wages because she is generating revenue through the home mortgage mediation program. It's really quite successful. And we should all be very pleased that we put our energies in support of it. It has really resulted in a number of successful mediations. Laverne May. Laverne was a temp in our office, shared with other offices, kind of a free agent, if you will.
Sure.
And she took this on voluntarily, no extra wage, and has grown it into a self-supporting enterprise in a short period of time.
How many people
have
used
it? I would estimate, Supervisor Rose, that we've had 32 mediation sessions since July 1st, and she probably has serviced me 100 times. Not everybody gets to go. Yeah, good results.
Yes, I'll attest to that. I know personally of someone that benefited immensely. She was able to stay in her house. And she was an elderly person that was on the verge of losing her home because of that, and so they ended up doing a reverse mortgage, and she'll be able to stay there the rest of her life.
Well, it might be, from a county board standpoint, maybe to have her come and just make a report on the successes of that program. Mm-hmm. I would just maybe suggest if you, I mean, maybe check with the chairman, but I think it's probably something good for the county board to hear.
Yeah, in amongst a lot of stuff, isn't all that good news? This is good news.
She was a good choice. If I might add, her husband was in mortgage banking all his life, so I'm sure she has some of that knowledge along.
We may have benefited a tad from that relationship.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Yes.
Civil Service Commission is the next budget item of that as well. There's a no increase budget. In fact, we're dropping.
Just tell us what page we're on.
$2,000.
Give us the
355.
Yeah, got to follow the numbers.
There we go. Civil Service Commission has, as its primary responsibility, hiring deputy sheriffs and promoting people up through the ranks in the sheriff's department. We did not have a particularly busy year last year. We did not have a strong call for new deputies. We will this year because we've already been picked up and there will be a variety of retirements. So going forward, we have just built a list. We will begin interviewing candidates for deputy sheriff on November 8th. And again, the Civil Service Commission shows no increase. In fact, a reduction.
Okay.
I would like to move on to insurances. And with your permission, Mr. Chairman, for health insurance, I'd like to invite Brianne Beaudry, the consultant for the county's health insurance, to join me at the table. Would you be okay with that?
Is Mr. Melcher here yet? Okay. Do we have other budget line items to go through?
Insurance is my last one, except for liability and workers' comp. One that we could do first.
Let's do it.
Or we can do the policies or the non-based baseline.
Dave,
I'll put on. Okay, then I'd like to ask Mr. Olson to come up and talk about liability and workers' comp.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. Okay.
What page?
Let's start on page 369, please. I'd like just to highlight the major changes without going through every line. Most of the majority of the lines are very minor. Or no change at all. First, I'd like to point out 369, the worker comp claims paid line, which is about mid-page. We did have to increase that 11.7% from 869 to 971,000, which represents an increase of 102,000. This was necessary to keep pace with increasing cost of health care and growing base of long-term permanent total type cases that develop over years or decades, or in some cases, the lifetime of a former employee. Also, this is attempting to keep in line with our actuarial recommendation, which we're actually trailing behind it a little bit to keep the budget tight and conservative, but to be responsible at the same time. We've been kind of trending it up a little bit, but the actuary is a little bit higher than us, but we've been performing adequately. Last year was not a good year for us, but this year we're tracking right on budget. Okay, the worker comp lost wages, which is just below that, the WC lost wages, we're actually reducing from about 16.6% from 120 down, I'm sorry, from 100,000 down to 80,000. Last year, we also reduced it from 120 down to 100. We are performing exceptionally well in this area, and that's due to our strong return to work program, where we actually get people back to work as they recover from a work injury. So we're doing great on that. On the revenue side, looking at the interest income toward the bottom of the page, we did reduce this line item 56% just to reflect the awful economy that we're experiencing. This interest income comes from the balance of the IBNR reserve, which is maintained within the general fund. Below that, the worker comp insurance revenue, this is the number that we actually charge out to the departments on an allocation basis, depending on risk and size and that type of thing. It's basically our primary funding source for this insurance. That we actually increased 10% just as an overall to capture these other increases. The total for the total funding for the business unit, which is on page 370, this reflects an overall increase for the worker comp budget of 7.3%, which is an increase of about $81,000. Like I mentioned before, I think this is a relatively conservative increase given the actuarial recommendation from NOMA. Are there any questions on the worker comp?
Supervisor Brady.
I'm taking a look at the interest income on the page, bottom of page 369. 2010 actual was $12,000. We got in the 2011 budget, $45,000 was anticipated. And now in 2012, we're looking at $20,000 being proposed. Why do we see such wide fluctuations in this particular line item?
Well, this I did rely on the finance department to help with estimating this. From what the way I understand it, prior to the economy going downhill, we were actually able to earn those levels of interest. And from a budgeting standpoint, instead of making drastic changes in a budget in predicting future events, we kind of try to level it off and kind of go in that direction so as to avoid, you know, spikes either way. There is potential to actually earn $20,000 in interest income, but again, we don't know. That's looking at a crystal ball, really.
Well, then, through the chair to either Mr. Geertsen or Mr. Schwartz, you know, we knew in 2010 we only were getting $12,000. In 2011, we adopted $45,000. Is there some rationale that I'm missing here? Or?
I think we're budgeting it. We're budgeting a significant reduction in 2012 compared to 2011, right?
Correct.
And what's the reduction amount?
$25,000.
So what we'll do is continue to monitor that, and if we need to knock off another $5,000 or $10,000 in 2013, we'll do that. But as Jim mentioned, we'll scale that down somewhat gradually, although I think we got most of it knocked out with this. We took bit most of the bullet this year. We'll bite the last piece of the bullet in 2013. If we need to do that, interest rates could fluctuate and allow us to achieve that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, I'll move on to the liability piece, which begins on page 377. I'd like just to highlight the major pieces here that are the major changes. And with that, I'd like to start with the limit premium, which is about mid-page again. What we're doing here is increasing from $325,000 to $354,000, which reflects an increase of about $30,000 or 9%. We're anticipating this bump. Wemmick has been performing well, and insurances would, this insurance line would have probably remained somewhat flat. However, last year, Wemmick, our insurance company, took action to increase the insurance protections for us. What we got is an increase of $5 million in limits to $10 million in limits, and that then reflects a bump in premium. I think it's well worth it. There's some other things that go into this behind the scenes, how the other members of Wemmick are performing. So it does take into consideration loss experience for all the 17 members of our insurance company. Liability claims paid were actually decreasing about 4%, or just shy of $12,000. This is reflecting, I mean, we looked at the last few years of claims paid history. We're doing pretty well in this area, and we thought it's appropriate to actually reduce this line at this given point in time. Again, this year we're on track to be close to budget. There is some litigation out there right now that may result in a settlement. But still, even with the settlement, I believe we're going to be very close to our budgeted amount. Again, let's see here. Toward the bottom of the page, the liability, again, well, with the interest, the liability insurance interest, these are smaller numbers, but the same idea. You know, we dropped it from 2,000 down to 1,000. We've got poor performance in this area. But again, it's kind of the same theory, moving down at a slower pace. The liability insurance revenue, again, just below that line, is moving from 487 to 497. That's not a huge jump, but this is the funding source. This, again, is the line that we charge out to the departments. This is what funds this liability insurance. So that number's kind of backed into after we figure out all our expenses. The operating dividend, we're actually bumping up from 67 to 75. Again, Wemmick did perform well, and we're anticipating a little bit larger operating dividend. This is a dividend that we get because we're a part owner of our insurance company. The other two, the interest revenue and capital dividend, is remaining flat. We don't have any new information that would lead us to change that number. On the last page, page 378, the total funding for the business unit itself, we're increasing from 636,416 to 653, which is about $16,000 or $17,000, which represents an overall increase of 2.6%. So relatively. Any questions?
That's it for you?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it on the
budget?
What we're going to do is we're going to do the health insurance fund. We'll get into a discussion about health insurance when we get to the policy. We'll tentatively approve the health insurance fund, likely as it's presented, and consider the impacts of any other changes later.
And we would put all those other policies too, like the countywide policy?
Yes.
And send those at the
yeah.
Okay, good. Then I would refer you to page 372. 372 is the health insurance budget is proposed. The health insurance budget is $20,223,000 and some change. It does reflect $1 million savings that we're building into the health benefits plan. We anticipate $14,456,000 in claims, medical claims paid. But it's gone down significantly in prescription claims paid at $2.6 million. The Flex account is represented there. You'll see that we have reduced Flex account, but there are still about 50% of our employees who are still on it, and our admin fees have increased by about $25,000 from last year. Again, there is some self-flex you'll see under employee paid pending care on 373. And employee paid flex spending, that is the funds that employees put in for themselves. Again, the $15,000 the $1.5 million represents retiree health premium for county paid insurance. Again, it's $20.2 million for the health insurance. Any questions?
What was the actuarial increase on premium? Do you know what the inflationary medical number they said they came in and said 7% or?
The actuarial increase, the premium went from 20x to 20y.
Oh, I don't know.
But it was pretty flat.
It was pretty flat. It was a few $100. I can get you that.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking prior to any of these cost sharing adjustments.
No, I understand. The amount of money that we were in.
You know, if they came in and said it's 7% this year, 10%.
Yeah, 5.5 is fine.
Yeah.
I can get that.
So
I can get that right away.
You can get that when you come back, maybe. Okay. And then the only other thing, the 2011 and 2012 budgeted individual premiums and family premiums from year to year, do you have those numbers?
From last year to this?
Yes. Yeah, I think we're at, it's 22,000 or.
Yeah,
I'll
look that real quick here. Sure.
Yeah,
that's
any other questions while he's doing that? Supervisor Grady.
Just on the revenue side, third line item, employee paid flex spending, $100,000 adopted in 2011, $200,000 this year in 2012. Okay, that's correct. Rationale as to why this is going up, what's the reason for
that? It is anticipated that our employees will put more money in their flexible spending accounts because there will be the call for them to pay more bills under the configuration of the plan model that we'll present.
So it's just a voluntary?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Putting more money in.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor Ekernis. Al, you can report on those numbers when we get to the resolution later. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Administrative budgets are passed tentatively. Thank you. Okay, planning and development. It is now 6:44, just on time.
What page?
We did Division of Personnel Services. I'm sorry. That was Division of Personnel Services. Planning and Development, page 243 to 292.
Brings the whole empire.
You're up.
I'm up. Okay, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to have Andy Bueller walk you through the highlights of our budget and where the changes are, and then I'll interject as I see fit to further explain. Go ahead, Andy.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Our budget starts on page 237, but to hit the highlights, we actually can move ahead to page 248. That's our 18280 business unit, and the major highlights would be in salaries. The whole top section there, there's a reduction totally of $403,908. That's from the elimination of four positions, one of which is being transferred to the Register of Deeds office. But four positions are being eliminated from our department, and that's a savings of $403,908. There's also a change on other professional services, which would be just below that section. There's an increase of $50,000. The county executive provided us with $50,000 in that line item to be able to cover areas of need for the loss of the personnel in areas that we may need in the next year. We're not sure where that may be, but we have the ability to use those funds to fill the gaps.
That's important from the standpoint that the division director for planning, long-range planning, and the principal planner that worked on the smart growth, and while that plan is finished, the day-to-day needs are still there that have to be met in following and executing that plan. So we're working on that, we're thinking that through, but we haven't made up our decisions as to how that should be handled, but we will.
The other line items on that page, there's no net change. We had moved a couple of areas where some funds were moved. We increased the motor vehicle maintenance line item by $1,000 by subtracting from another line item, and we increased mileage and travel by $200, again, by subtracting from another area, just to try to work with the change with the CIP. The vehicles that we have are being pushed out farther along, and so there is need for more funds to be able to deal with the maintenance of those vehicles as they are becoming older and being able to replace them are being pushed out farther down the line. Okay, moving on to the next page is page 249. There is the third item down is the mapping. That's our topographical and aerial photography mapping. And we have reduced that at the request of finance. This is bonded money that we use for keeping our mapping programs up to date. And typically that for this year would have been $113,000 like last year. And we've been asked to reduce that, which we did. And it's now at $30,000 if we're gonna try to move things off into the future and try to do some things maybe internally.
That's important from the standpoint that last year the state granted us $175,000 when we did the 3-inch pixel maps, and we are the only county in the state that has that. And what's important about that is that that level of mapping allows for any industries or anybody else wanting to do development in the near future or long-distance future, they will have mapping available so they can turn it over to their engineers to be ready to start projects. So I think that puts us in a much better position for this county, that when those things come up, that we're going to be poised so that they can get out of the gate faster versus going maybe to a different county or some other place. We will have the one up on that. And that was really brought to bear to me when Gordon Foods came to Kenosha and we were out over near the airport. We didn't have anything available at that particular time. Fortunately, that company was willing to take the time and do it. But, you know, that's like 3 years ago. And so what I'm more interested in now, when and if the economy turns around, that we are poised with the best things that we have and tools to provide to those particular developers and companies that they can get out of the gate. And we can hopefully garner that business for tax purposes and jobs.
Okay, then moving down to the bottom of that page, that's the revenue line items. We always work with the finance department on these numbers just because they go up and they go down over the years. State aid, land conservation, that is monies from the state. And last year was a higher amount that we were able to achieve in that line item. This year it's going to fall back a little bit. It's going to be reduced from the previous year by $16,446. But that is still higher than what it was in 2010. From our other revenue line items, just to point out is our land use fees. Last year's budget was 115. This year we're looking at 105, just trying to move them in line with where things are at. And development review and verification, which is the last item, there is a reduction of $10,000 there from $25,000 to $15,000, again, just due to the climate of things with development. One thing to take note, though, is in the middle is a new line item called GIS revenue. all the work that our GIS department does for joint services, we are now being asked to keep track of that and bill joint services for that. And working with the finance department, we're anticipating that would be $24,000 that we'd be reimbursed for those services.
Now, we have not done that in the past. Basically, my attitude has always been in the department, if we're working with other departments, now, unless it's something extremely expensive, that we're still all two words, Kenosha County, and in my mind, we help each other out. But there's a different purpose in that one, so I understand it, and that's why we're going to be doing that. But generally speaking, it's, to me, there's a trade-off there to help each other out, where it doesn't become so excessive that it consumes all the time of an individual or resources of a department.
And certainly that change came about because we had the study and how joint services is allocated. As long as everybody's paying their load and we're looking at it, that's...
I get it. Yeah, I understand it very well.
Okay, besides that, there are no changes. One point just to note, this in the sewer pack services, page 275, the value that they ask from Kenosha County is always based upon assessed values, equalized assessed values, and the amount for Kenosha County is, there's a reduction of $690 for next year, for a total of $184,725. That was just to kind of note where that lies. Otherwise, again, there are no other changes within our budget.
Okay. Supervisor Gaines.
I do appreciate the long-range planning and getting the mapping out there and being ready if somebody should call. How closely do you work with CABA with new businesses that might be inquiring or coming into the area? And
when Todd Bell, has something that we want, we're there for him. I mean, because we feel that, too, is extremely important.
Yeah, because we're putting a lot of money into economic development. And I think,
right,
you know, working together in that regard, I was kind of happy to hear you say that we're in position to do that kind of stuff so we can get an edge over some other areas that
Todd
might be looking.
Todd's wonderful to work with. You know, so whatever he needs from our shop, we're willing to provide to him. And we're doing this countywide. It doesn't matter if it's in the city, Pleasant Prairie, Donna Randall, countywide. Because
well, we
don't know where somebody's going to locate a business or want to locate. So,
the next question I have is, with the cutting of the positions, I understand that we've had a tough economy and we are shrinking, and maybe, you know, I just want to hear from your perspective that you'll be able to handle the duties in that department with that number of people. I mean, you'll be okay with that?
We have to, and we will.
Well, I know, but I want to hear, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not understanding having a slush fund in case you need something else, or, you know, I want to make sure that with us cutting down in the department that we are stable and that we are able to do what we need to do. So
we're working towards that goal. That's all I can tell you at this time. I mean, it's when you have two that are in the same alignment, I have to be concerned that we're not missing a beat. Now, obviously, the economy is down. We don't have the volume that we did have. I mean, there's a number of you that have been on the old land use committee. You know what was there in the past, and we're trying to work around those things at this point. But I'm not going to panic about it.
That's good.
You know, it's not the right thing to do.
Supervisor Reddy.
Just back to the mapping item for a moment, Mr. Melcher. The term you used was 3-pixel resolution, is that correct?
3-inch pixel.
So is that now throughout the county that's in place and that is completed, or that's in the works, or what's the status?
Countywide.
Done.
Countywide. Has been photographed and flown properly, so now it's a matter of just whatever planimetric features we want to add to it to make more detail on it. But the base is all there, and it was all done at once under the grant that we got and the funding that the county board provided to us last year.
Thank you.
We'll do approve.
Second.
We have several parts to get through here yet, don't we? Or
this yes. part is one. Well, then, yeah.
There's two parts to it.
Okay, so it's been moved to pass these two areas. Second, moved by Supervisor Gaines, second by Supervisor Singer. Supervisor Bruning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. committee members. I know that this is a little unorthodox to have a supervisor sit up here and talk about their committee, but I do want to make it very clear to this committee and to other supervisors that cutting four people out of one department should not be taken lightly. This is it is going to put a lot of stress on this department. And even though the economy is down right now, if it turns around and when it turns around, we are going to have to be ready to move because the West End is going to explode. It's just going to happen. So we need to be careful about future cuts and what people think that ought to be done with this department. I just want to caution you on this because I know that with the economy the way it is right now, this could turn into a disaster for Kenosha County.
Supervisor,
of the positions you're cutting, in, were they all people on board at the time now?
Oh, yeah.
So going on what you just said, too, I don't know if it's, why don't we just keep a couple positions and defund them like we did in other cases? Why don't we do that instead of eliminating? What was the rationale for?
They were defunded, I mean, for the next year, so it isn't a question of...
You eliminated them, though, right?
Defunding, eliminate, I mean...
They have been eliminated, the
same
yes.
thing as...
To me, not the same.
Not exactly. So, don't be afraid to come back and ask for some help when the time is right, because you're in the forefront. You're in the beginning stages of any turnaround. And if it slows them down, they'll go somewhere else.
Right? I appreciate that. You know, in my tenure of 35 years here, this is probably the worst time we've been in. I can't think of a more difficult time. But, you know, we all got to step up to the plate, and I'm willing to do it and take, you know, my lumps and got to deal with it. It isn't anyone here's fault or mine. It's an economy out there that, you know, is down. And as long as it's down, we're going to have to face that now. But I do feel very strongly that where our positioning is geographically, outside of Chicago, and we finally started to see it just before this thing started going the wrong way, this place was popping. And had it not slowed down, I think we would have kept going pretty well. Thank you.
Just relative to the comments and the reduction, I know this was not an easy decision or move for the county executive. I mean, there's... county employees that he knows, considers friends,
sure,
in that department, and this is not something he hasn't wrestled with over a year ago and hoped against hope that this would turn around and that it would pick up, but I think he gave it another year last year and had to make the tough decision, and that's unfortunately sometimes, you know, it's not always ribbon cutting for the county executive. Sometimes he's got to make the tough decision, the hard decision. I think that he's made an allowance for the professional services so you can call in and get the help that you need. And certainly, there's a commitment by this county board, but the county executive will also be on the lead of restoring those positions should the things turn around. And if it would happen to be in the middle of a budget year, I'm sure he would do that if he saw the need.
Let me say this to Supervisor, to all of you, that, you know, Jim, from the get-go, years ago already, saw the need in our department. It is truly all about where things are economically right now in this country. We're all part of that, so we understand. And, you know, I've survived this long, we'll survive, trust me, we'll find a way. And I don't want to panic, because that's not going to help any of us and get the job done.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Those two portions are approved. What are we moving on to next?
Page 287. Summary of UW Extension. The increase in our levy is summed up in our salaries in one county employee and the contract with the university for the educators, which the county pays 40% of salaries and benefits. So I'll walk again through the highlights on page 288 in our line item. This is the issue for all the levies. As I indicated, the increase in our one employee is in the personnel line, so that's an increase for salary and benefits for that employee. The next increase would be on the line for other professional services, and that is the salary line item for the educators for 40% of their salaries. It has gone up. As you recall, these last 2 years I was mentioning we were as state employees under state mandated furlough. That now is not the case, so all of that salary that had been saved by furlough is now reinstated, as well as an increase in our fringe benefit rate. Other expense there in that particular section for that business unit would be our copy machine, and that's because we're in our last year of our maintenance agreement offer, or excuse me, our buyout of our old copy machine. The costs have gone up because it's an older machine. So that summarizes the increases in our budget from last year's levy to this year's levy. The next pages are the business units by which we have our special projects and or grants funded and contracts. So everything in these items are all relative to our ability to generate revenue or acquire revenue through other sources. And then we do our programming based upon the revenue we have available, and our corresponding expenses are such. And at the end of the year, we reconcile any carryover we may have for any of those projects. That pretty much sums up our budget. Oh, I should point out, let me point out on page 291, there is a, page 290, I'm sorry, page 290, there is a new revenue line item for our 67100 account. That's $1,699. I want to point out that that's a one-time contribution from Cooperative Extension to counties in support of our increased fringe benefit rates. Because the university, as state employees, the benefit rate went from last fiscal year from 39.5 to 44%. And so they knew that would be an incredible burden on many counties, given that furlough was also coming back. So the university is putting forward a one-time contribution for counties to help offset that cost. And our contribution that we will be receiving is that $1,699. So we created a new revenue item for that.
Any questions?
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the UW Extension budget. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That portion is tentatively approved. We have several other pages to get through in here, is that correct?
There is the CIP section, there is the Board of Adjustments section. Both of those are unchanged from the previous
Did we go through or adapt? I just wanted from like 253 to 282. You got the
tree planting and revolving.
251 is the
correct. Again, in all those different accounts, there's no change from the previous year.
No change from the previous year.
There's no levy.
Second.
Been moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor O'Day to approve the miscellaneous items in the planning and development budget. I think that's almost from like page 253 to 275. There was one area we talked about. There was no changes from the prior year. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Are we on to administrative services?
If we have any questions for IT, I'll still be on there for that.
Let's do the administrative. It is 706. We're going to do the administrative services starting on page 211.
I'm going to start on page 215. Finance and administrative services. It's the administrative service budget, the finance budget, purchasing, IT, and the non-departmental. As far as the administrative services budget, there's no significant change. The big item in this budget is the courthouse security. No questions? I'll move on. Page 215, we do have a capital expenditure in the administrative services budget. That is for the auditor's room to have some furniture in there, conference room furniture.
Now, what was the first page that you started on?
Let's see, 213.
213, okay.
As you notice, we moved some file cabinets out and we wanted to make it a full crawl conference room.
Clean it up?
Yes.
Okay.
Finance department starts on page 221. A significant change there is the increase in other professional services. That's a result of last year when we added the finance manager on Public Works, and we eliminated the position out there, and that's the end result of that change from last year. Everything else is pretty much the same. The overall budget for finance went up $30,000 or 2.3%. If there's no questions on the finance, I'm going to move on to purchasing. Purchasing budget decreased by $3,858 or 1.4%. No significant changes. There is one item in the budget resolution where departments have asked for to purchase used equipment, specifically Public Works, and we're going to add language to the budget resolution. Carol, the purchasing director, is here, and she can answer any questions you may have on purchasing.
Questions?
No, I have a question about that. Sure. That would be a part of the 2012 budget that we could purchase used vehicles for county purposes.
Used vehicle equipment, furniture.
The request, I believe, came out of Public Works law.
It started with Public Works.
Right. But. As part of our budget review of Public Works, we had an issue came up with the Brightondale Golf, and there's a lift station out there, and there has to be water samples taken to a certain area. And in our current budget, we saw the amount being for a new vehicle. And we questioned, why do we have to purchase a new vehicle for something that has such limited usage? And not denying the need for a different vehicle, but just the idea, why is it purchased new? And at that time, it was alluded that in our 2012 budget, we would have language stating that the county could procure used equipment, used vehicle in this case, without having a big ticket expenditure. So. You said the language for that is forthcoming, or it's drawn up currently, or
forthcoming in the budget resolution.
Thank you.
Our next budget is the information technology budget, which was reviewed with you on October 13th. And Harvey Laycock is here, the IT director. If there's any additional questions with regard to that budget, I think his staff is also here.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
At the time that Mr. Laycock presented the information technology budget, I think we're all aware of the $900,000, which is for the dark fiber ring, which would be the backbone of a statewide information system technology package. The part that I'm having you take a look at now is on page 233, and we're looking at the line item, which would be 521,400, and there's been a certain amount of going back and forth with vendors. I had a conversation with Carol today in purchasing about the implementation of going from the dark fiber network itself to the end user in Western Kenosha County, so those people could be served. But the thing I'm not clear on, I'd like Mr. Laycock to address us here, is why we have one bidder, one responder to the proposal that the Kenosha County has put forward. I'd just like some additional clarification, if we may.
Well, I think the additional increase in the operating budget is related to tower rental fees. that are associated with the public safety network and communication system. We did have a RFP that did go out in 2009, and we did have three respondents to that. And HireCom, which is our vendor that we selected, was the best cost for the county that was provided.
So we take a look at this particular line item here. The amount of expenditure, is this really more of the public safety and public service portion of it, or is it for extending those services to the end users, which would be non-governmental?
It's more public safety. It's for the tower rental and tower management fees that are associated with the 16 towers for public safety.
So when we look at this line item, then, we're not really looking at the individual private end users within the county. You're saying this is just basically for county business, is that correct?
This is essentially infrastructure, the backbone of the infrastructure for those tower rentals.
All right. Then the second part of the question is it further hypothesized or projected that in the future this particular entity, HireCom, may partner with the county and provide additional services to civilian users for private use, is that correct?
I'm not sure the right term would be partner, but I think it would be a public-private relationship that HireCom would provide internet service, typical ISP-type services, to the public or commercial networks. So we would expect that there would be some revenue coming back to the county based on that relationship. I think it's a good public-private partnership.
Well, if that's the case, I can accept that. If it's strictly for county use in this budget, that's fine. But I would expect going forward, any negotiations the county would enter into with a private entity to basically provide internet service to those other than county personnel or county business to a private user would come before this committee, and we'd review these documents, we'd make sure that we had our input into them. So that's my comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Any other questions? We reviewed the IT budget previously. So we've covered all the administrative?
No, we have not. Okay. We're going to move to page 339, non-departmental. These are county-wide. We start out with salaries there. That is the it's a negative. That is the vacancy adjustment for the county. It is down by $50,000. Technically, it's down by $150,000. There was a $100,000 vacancy adjustment Brookside, and we eliminated that. We need to start moving this number down. If you remember the closeout last year, we were $300,000 or $400,000 short of making our vacancy. It just so happens with the economy, we don't get the turnover of personnel that we previously did to accumulate the vacancies. And as years go forward, I'm going to start moving that down as much as I can. But it's very difficult to move down.
So what do you think we're going to end up with our vacancy adjustment for 2011?
Last year, I think we were $300,000 to $400,000. I think we should do a little better than that. I'm hoping we do a little better. I haven't done a lot of analysis up until this point. I think most people in county, most department or division heads know that most of the green sheets are the requisitions for positions go through my desk, and I make sure they're justified. And we have a rationale before we automatically fill those positions. So I try to, I don't want to say slow down the process, but I try to manage that process the best I can.
Has that been factored into our reserve analysis?
Yeah, well,
you've been
I factor it in, but it's real difficult at this particular time to get a real handle on how departments are going to come out that way. If you, I want to use an example. When you look at the both the sheriff coming in with a total overall surplus and human services, I haven't been able to do the analysis yet at this particular time of the year to determine how much of that surplus they're going to come in with is from vacant positions and how much of it is from other factors.
Because the paychecks get charged to the expense account and you don't figure that out until
right.
the end. And
until the end, when I look at all the salary accounts and determine the vacancy.
Okay.
But I do look at their overall surplus, and I don't want to double count that.
Okay.
The next line item is salary and benefits. That's where we pay the vacation and casual accrual. This thing has went down substantially. This is a remainder of vacation and casual accrual for those people that still can get those payouts. It also includes some minor things where if departments have a single plan and somebody has to, and somebody transfers in or moves and has to pay family plan, it also covers any grievance that we have to pay out or any budgetary error that I may have in a department to cover their salary and benefits. Now we get onto the revenue side. Sales tax is budgeted up by $200,000. Currently we're running $213,000 over last year, so I feel very comfortable just moving it up slightly. State shared revenue, that's a reduction of $441,000. I think we're very familiar with the state budget. We took that 25% in our state shared revenue, but that account includes the state shared revenue, the utility component for the power plant, and computer aids. And the only thing we took the reduction on of $400,000 was the general state shared revenue. Indirect cost revenue, that went down as a result of reductions in human services. I think just so you understand, at times we were questioned whether departments get charged for indirect costs, even though the departments such as human services may not budget for indirect costs, they still put that into their cost reimbursement formulas. We get reimbursed for that, and this is where that money comes in. We also currently get about $40,000 from joint services and indirect costs as a result of the IGA. Tipping fee we talked about last night, that's $125,000. Finally, the last item on the next page, 360. The only significant change there is I'm not budgeting. I get $1 in there for profit and loss on tax deal sales. Right now, we are running a negative in that account. I think if you remember the last general fund forecast, we had budgeted $40,000 and we're running about a $10,000 negative, because we have to pay for grass cutting or boarding up the property, and then we offset that when we sell the property. And currently, I think the registered deeds, and I'm not the registered deeds, but the treasurer mentioned she doesn't really, and the clerk mentioned that they really don't have an influx of properties for sale at this particular time. And when we sell them, we first have to pay off the taxes and the specials. Last piece, I just want to point out, it's not part of our budget, but on page 375, I mentioned this the other night. This is the cost of retiree health insurance. Retirees, mostly between 60 and 65, and or in the case of the Sheriff's Department, 53, that the county pays the premium until Medicaid. We pulled that out of the department's budget, put it in one area in the budget, so we have a better handle and can better manage our OPEB. But I wanted to point this out because this is a significant change in our budget, in presenting our budget.
It had not been broken out in the past?
It had not been broken out in the past. That's why you don't see the prior year. Prior years was in the department budget. Since it was such a significant change, you can see the cost of OPEB. Our OPEB. that concludes my presentation.
Do we do anything in the debt service area? Or we
oh,
just...
I'm sorry. Yes, that is part of my. That is a very.
It's 3:40 later.
Oh, we you want to do that Monday when Harrigan is here?
No, we can do this part of it now.
Okay.
I mean, I think the main part is to look at the summary page 375 rather than the line items. 379, excuse me, rather than the line items. The total P&I is $14,352,000, that matches up with our summary in the beginning of the book to our debt service schedule. And then if you take out the rebate for the BABS rebate and some reserves that are on our books, the net is $13,000. And then if you can look across the proprietary debt service, the Gulf, the Brookside, and the Job Center debt service that are budgeted in those departments budgeted, the net there is $13,127,000, and that ties back to our line item budget.
What percentage of the levy is now in debt?
Glad you asked that. If you go to page 2S, or 3S, excuse me.
324%.
It doesn't actually give you the percentage, but I can figure that out real quick. So
maybe
that
was
almost 25%, 23-24%.
Just so we have a comparison, what was it last year, for example?
Well, this year it's 13,868 versus 13,158. Okay. As a percentage, it's probably going to be very close. Let me do it real quick. 13, it's probably not going to be within a percentage point.
Do you know what 2010 would be?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm grabbing my budget and I'm into it.
Could you give us that number Monday?
Absolutely. But you can see right there where the percentages of our levy for this year. It's a substantial point for this year's levy. Mm-hmm. There's only 361 for operations and 709 for debt service out of an increase of $1,070,000.
Go back to page 360 for just a moment.
360?
Yeah, 360. City payment, top of the page, KPSB.
That is the debt service, the estimated debt service payment for the city.
Okay. So it's adopted in 2011, 249, as proposed in 2012, 227.
227.
So that just means what? The
well, two different things. One, we haven't, number one, we have not issued a debt with the city. Number two, we had a little more refined total cost of what the building was in estimating it for 2012 on the city and county portion of the cost of the cost of the building, proportionate cost of the building. And thirdly, the debt service schedule for this particular year is a little lower. So it was a combination of three factors.
Okay. So in years going forward, what would you expect this figure to be if you could peer into your crystal ball and give us your estimation?
I think it'll be fairly close. I mean,
quarter.
It's not going to, just like from 240 to 227, it's not going to substantially swing one way or the other.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Move approval.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor Singer. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. It is 7:26. From my vantage point, I see a lot of people in the room falling asleep. So if we can just take until 7:35 recess, and then we're going to get on to we're going to do the budget finalization resolution on Monday night. We're going to handle the employee policy We've got a resolution regarding health insurance. And what's the other one? I think those two, right?
That's it for tonight?
Yes. Yes. Excuse me? Oh, maybe if everybody wouldn't be talking, they might be able to hear. So first thing we're going to talk about is the employee health insurance plan that is proposed by the administration. We have a resolution that we had regarding employee health insurance contribution that was tabled. So first thing we're going to take up is the proposed coverage. And as far as the resolution goes, that would need to be moved to come off the table. So
I'll move that.
Well, we're not doing it yet.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the health insurance coverage first.
I heard you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You had in the past generally approved our plan designs for health insurance when contracts came before you, and then annually, this time of the year, for the non-represented employees and elected officials. As you know, the laws in the state of Wisconsin have changed, and so now what you are considering is plan design for about 50% of our employees who are no longer or will not be on January 1st covered by a collective bargaining agreement. The plan design for county government is and has been since 2003 a pay-as-you-go plan, a combination of co-payments and deductibles that essentially requires employees to pay for their services every time they enter the system and as often as they enter the system. And so what we are proposing, and this is covered in the document that I passed out called Kenosha County Copay Education. We'll change that. So we are increasing co-payments and deductibles for 2011 as follows. Office visits will go from 33 to 35. Preventive care, because we will lose our grandfather status with respect to the federal plan, we'll have those services that you see in the right-hand column available at no co-payment. The emergency room is 100 and it will stay 100. Diagnostics will go from 33 to 35. Outpatient services will also go up $2. And outpatient diagnostic services, the more sophisticated diagnostics, will go to $50 from 33. Outpatients will remain at $150. Outpatient facility charges will be now a $50 copay. And I can explain that more completely if you have questions about it. And inpatient services, will double from $150 to $300. We are also going to place a deductible on Tier 2 and 3 of our prescription medicines. The deductible is $150. And again, generics would remain copay only. With me tonight, I'm pleased to introduce to you Rayan Beaudry. Rayan is the healthcare consultant from Horton, who we use and who has guided us in dismantling our plan, which we started to do last June, and rebuild it into the plan that I'm proposing to you this evening. And with your permission, I'd just like to have Rayan tell you why we do it the way we do it and how we do it. So with your permission, I'll introduce Rayan.
Mr. Chairman, County Board Supervisors, thank you so much for having me this evening. I'd like to give just a short presentation on some strategies that the work group went through, some things we've considered. Obviously, please feel free to interrupt me at any time that you have questions, and then explain how we arrived at the plan design that we did. Back in late spring, early summer, the county executive charged the finance administration and personnel individuals that work for the county to come together and form a work group to really dismantle the plan, take a look at where healthcare costs were going, and strategize a plan in order to be ready when and if Act 10 or its predecessor, the budget repair bill, were to pass, so that we would be ready with a plan, we would know and understand how that plan was going to work, and be able to educate employees, educate whoever wanted to learn more about the strategies and why we do what we do. We came together and began our study in June, as Bob had indicated, and we went through some things that I think it's fair to remind this committee that the county's already done with respect to its health plan to see how we arrived at where we started today. First of all, we do have a plan that increases co-payments each and every year. What the personnel department has done year over year and time after time is increase those co-pays because it has been found through most of the studies that are going on today, through Milliman, through the Kaiser reports that are coming out, that when people pay for a service, they actually think more about that service. So we have decided in the past that it's been beneficial for the county to encourage utilization costs as opposed to a premium contribution. And when we're looking at strictly how the health plan works, it's important to note that what a premium contribution does is it changes a budget. It does nothing to control utilization. Those people who are still going to see a doctor are going to see a doctor. Those people who are going to have a surgery are going to have a surgery. So a premium contribution in some cases raises the idea that people should be using more services because now they're paying for something they otherwise might or might not be using. So the strategy that the county's employed in the past, because of collective bargaining agreements, has been to continuously increase those utilization or the gatekeeper entrance fees, if you will, to the healthcare system. And over time, that has diminished the rate of increase that the county has experienced. So we've been looking at budget impact both from Horton and Milliman in the low single-digit range over the last several years. So we've been able to mitigate average trend, which has been somewhere between 7 and 12%, depending upon the area of the Midwest you're in versus the kind of plan that you have. We've always had a PPO, which is open access. When the governor, of course, started to look at Act 10, one of the main things that he considered was a cost of a premium contribution and why that was needed. There's no secret that Act 10 is a budget bill. It didn't get any protection under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act as a health insurance mandate. It's literally a budget system. When you look at the state plan, which is what Act 10 specifically refers to, they have either zero deductible for single or family, a couple of co-pays for prescription drugs, and that's it. So to ask people to pay 12% or 12.6% is a very realistic expectation. They also have, obviously, a new plan now, which has a $500 single deductible or $1,000 family deductible. Again, no co-payments with the exception of prescription drugs after that. So if the average cost of the HMOs that are available in the Kenosha County service area would be roughly $1,500 a month per family or around $20,000 a year, when you're asking a family to pay only a $1,000 deductible, then a premium contribution seems to make sense. In the past, what we've run is some studies, and Milliman has done the same, as to where the co-pays and costs that we've asked the employees to contribute so far have put us in the area of cost sharing for the employees. Roughly, the co-pays as they stand today are at about 13%. With the plan of benefits that we're going to be proposing this evening, and as Bob mentioned, for only half of the population, because those are the only folks we can change right now, it's going to push that up north of about 20%. So it's roughly about 21 point something. So we feel that this is, again, a better way to stabilize the rate of increase, and the trend curve for the health insurance plan is to change the utilization costs, not the premium contribution. Similarly, we looked at who we could change now. There's two goals with the population that we can change. One is it's relatively important that Kenosha County eliminate some of the very old plans that we still have in place. We still have the pyramid plan, if some of you have been around for a while, the standard plan. There's a few generations of health plans that people have retired under. What personnel has done over negotiations in time has been to ask employees that the retirees will have the same plan that the actives have. As we can move people to current Plan G and get everyone on the same plan, we'll have a better utilization and control with those health insurance costs than what some of those older plans show today. So we're looking at that as well. Goals for the workshop was to take everything that had ever come before the county board that was an interesting idea, kind of work through those, talk about what the laws and the changes might be for some of those laws. For example, it's been discussed from time to time that we employ, much like the private sector does, a spousal surcharge or some kind of spousal dependent charge for accessing Kenosha County's health plan. A couple of years ago, the Wisconsin Supreme Court actually advised that that is considered marital discrimination. Now, clearly, it has not prohibited the private sector from still employing that as a cost-saving strategy, but the Supreme Court has said that the case is Googleable. It's right there. So we didn't feel that that was something that the county government would want to necessarily get a hold of. So after we studied everything from spousal surcharges, premium contributions, how new co-payments and deductibles would affect those plan beneficiaries that we could change, who was still covered under a collective bargaining agreement and for how long, the idea was that we would employ a two-year strategy. The two-year strategy is to move the people that we can move today without hurting them significantly and trying to relieve all of the cost increase on the backs of half the population, because then you have some people paying for what other folks are continuing to do. And we really thought that that was not acceptable. So we put together a couple of different strategies, and we're looking to use dollars that are cost neutral to do some other things that also were very important to this county board and the county employees. So first of all, for those individuals that we can, we are looking to eliminate the county's flex contribution. The county currently pays to each party through negotiation. There was a $400 single contribution to a Section 125 plan and an $800 family contribution. With the elimination of that, it saves about $600,000 on the entire population when we can deploy that, about $300,000 on the half that we can control today. We want to use that savings to get and encourage county employees to contribute their own money to Section 125. Mr. Riedel talked previously about an increase in revenue with that strategy. What happens is this: the county saves all the FICA savings for every dollar that the employee puts in. So there is an offset to every dollar that they put in. So you save your match, the employee saves FICA, federal and state income taxes on those dollars. So again, a realization of what I'm using, can I use the health plan better and more cost effectively? Secondly, we are putting in a prescription drug deductible. When we looked at costs, what we found that was really raging here at the county were the increases to particularly brand name drugs. So tier 2 and tier 3 prescriptions. We still want to encourage, wherever possible, the use of generics and low-cost brand alternatives, so those tier 1 drugs. We want to do a lot of employee education about the $4 and $10 programs that are available all in the community, the Targets, the Walmarts, Walgreens, where there are 486 maintenance medications on each and every one of those particular lists. I can get a one-month supply for $4, considerably less than the county's tier one copay, or $10 for a 90-day supply, and I can get it at retail. So we want to encourage appropriate use. What a lot of folks have asked when we've talked about that is they are concerned that people that need very high-cost drugs are going to be disadvantaged if we put in a program such as that. Most of the tier three drugs, if not all, have tier one or tier two equivalents. So again, we want to bring in some pharmacists, we want to bring in people to help coach and educate and use those proper experts in order to be able to do that. So we are not putting that deductible on tier one. We want to encourage the use of those low-cost drugs. We're going to put it on tier two and three. It is maxed by of three per family, so everybody's not going to have that. We are increasing the, and that's a savings of approximately $200,000 on the population we can change, $400,000 on the total population in 2013 when we can deploy this. Increasing the inpatient copay, as Mr. Riedel talked about, is about $250,000, $500,000 on the total population. Changes in other copays are worth $50,000 to the population, again, that we can change, $100,000 for those others. We have the diagnostic imaging copays. These are things where an x-ray might suffice, but somebody's insisting that they need an MRI or a PET scan or a CT scan. We want to definitely encourage people to think about that. We want to also encourage our providers in Kenosha County to be really specific when they order those, because there would be a change in the cost. And there is currently in the health plan a wellness benefit. What that is for every employee, they get $250 a year if they join a gym or do some other particular wellness activities. Well, what we're finding is a lot of people are joining gyms, but not a lot of people seem to be using the gyms once they join them. So we are proposing that we remove that particular wellness benefit, change it to Humana's Vitality Wellness Program. They just bought this program from South Africa. There's about 1.7 million participants in this program. It's an online health risk assessment that's very user-friendly. It's pictures. It gives me my health age, my family members my health age, or their health age, and us an individual path to wellness. If we deploy that path to wellness, we earn points. Those points allow us to go to the Vitality Mall, and I can buy what's important to me. I cannot tell my husband about it if I want, and we can gang up on the program and use our points collectively. And you can buy things as nice as airfare, all the way down to a couple of movie tickets, depending upon your level of participation. The idea behind this is ultimately we'll be able to track people by their color and as they achieve through the ranks, and later on, when the county exec, something that was very near and dear to his heart was to make sure that people were engaged and stayed engaged. So if you don't rise above a blue level, for example, there may be a premium contribution in the future, or you may be asked to pay a bigger deductible. So we want to give people an incentive to engage in their own wellness and prepare their own health. So that is the plan we decided upon. It saves about $1.1 million on, again, 50% of the population, the people that we can control. We feel that for 2012, this is the most appropriate and most cost-effective strategy. It doesn't punish those who otherwise can't kind of fight for themselves anymore because of the Act 10 and the collective bargaining strategies. And yet, it doesn't change so much so that the people that are not impacted by Act 10 are going to feel so much different. I'd love to answer any questions that anyone would have.
Before we continue, I would like to explain the pages that are in your book because there is a component of $1 million savings that I would like to make clear to the extent that I'm familiar. But there is on page 2, you'll see a high deductible plan. Page 3, I'm sorry. HSA plan. That plan is currently in the budget to be given as the health plan for the Kenosha County Deputy Sheriff's Association, its retirees, and its sworn non-reps. What Act 10 did was protected employees from having to go through the changes that all other state, county, and municipal employees have gone through. As a protected group, we have to negotiate a contract with them just like we always have. And they are protected from paying pension and from a variety of other things. The one thing that Act 32 did, however, was to make plan design a prohibited subject of bargaining, which means whatever plan design we put into place, that is not a negotiation. This is the plan design that we have decided to put in place for Deputy Sheriff's Association. Those of you who have been on the administration committee in years past know that we cannot talk about negotiations and negotiation strategies while negotiations are going on outside of a closed session. We don't have a closed session tonight, so I cannot, nor will I go into detail on this, but this particular plan will round out part of the savings, and the county will realize around $200,000 in savings from this plan being implemented for the Deputy Sheriff's Association. With that, please ask questions.
On the plan that you just got through, going through, what's the deductible on that?
$2,400 in-network for a single, $4,800 out-of-network for a single, $4,800 in-network for a family, and $9,600 out-of-network for a family.
That's for the Deputy Sheriff's Association only.
No, I was talking about the plan you just got through. Oh,
describe. There is no deductible per se as we think of a traditional deductible, supervisor. It's a copay every time, and that copay varies depending upon the facility or the access point.
I see. Whereas this other one has the standard traditional kind of deductible.
Yeah, it's an HSA plan. It's a high deductible plan.
They know these. They know these.
Do they know them? Oh, yes. We're in negotiations with them.
I see.
The last session was, I think, about a week and a half, maybe 10 days.
I would have to commend the fellow members of this work study. This has been a long process. It was over several months, and we've come to very similar conclusions. They were well vetted, well debated, challenges to the various points that each member of the committee brought up. So,
does either to Bob Riedel, do we have an analysis of what the other counties' health insurance plans look like? Do you, in your professional capacity, or Mr. Riedel?
I don't have one available.
What's their copay? I'm sorry. What's their copay percent? Is it not copay? It's what their contribution is, what their cost share is. I mean, what's the inside of the plan? Are most of them point of service? Which ones have deductibles? There's plans out there that I see premium contribution, I see copay, I see deductible. And I see that in other counties. And in our plan here, we see, we number one, improperly use the word contribution when it's a cost share. So I'm just, do we have any of that analysis of other counties and what they're doing and what you're seeing?
I certainly can comment on the several in the area that I work with. What we're seeing in places like Washington County, for example, has been traditionally the most conservative, and they have been the furthest along in their bargaining with regard to a premium contribution. So they had an old-fashioned $250 deductible, 500 family, and it was 90% after that to another additional out-of-pocket of 500. They were charging employees 15% of that contribution. Beginning 1-1 of this year, we actually moved them to plan choices, and they've actually shifted their contribution to more deductibles, more co-payments, and there actually is a $20 single contribution and a $45 family contribution on their plan. They have a middle tier plan which has a roughly a 6% premium share. They still have their 15% because they have people under collective bargaining contracts. That middle tier has an HRA contribution, a health reimbursement account, that fills in the deductible after $500. So as they've increased their cost share, they've moved their premium contribution down till it's almost non-existent. It's just been one of the things that they've done, but they've increased prescription drug co-pays after that deductible, done some various other opportunities. They did not have any wellness in their previous plan, didn't cover some of the things that Kenosha County covers. Walworth County has a $150 deductible, 300 family, and some office visit co-pays and prescription drug co-pays. That is about it. They do charge employees 10% of a premium contribution, and that can be moved down through a taking of a health risk assessment and wellness coaching and activities back down to, I believe it was 5% this year, so they're in the end of a two-year strategy there. The city of Racine has no premium contribution, but has co-pays similar to Kenosha County. That is the city. It is not Racine County. I'm not working with the county. I'm trying to think who else is right around here.
And Racine County has a 15%, or at least 2011.
And I apologize. I cannot comment on what deductible they have. I just don't
Maybe
know.
That's
I don't
not right. There is a contribution.
I don't think they have copays.
I don't think they have copays. And I believe that they were trying to negotiate in or working toward a lessening of that contribution for certain, again, wellness activities or certain strategies, health coaching and those sorts of activities. Milwaukee County is moving all over the map right now. I'm not sure, to be fair, I'm not sure where they're going to end up. The general other trend is either very low deductibles and some sort of premium contribution, or we're moving in the direction of plan choices and lessening that premium contribution. That seems to be the direction that most of the high-level professional studies are telling us. Contribution percentages are actually moving down for employers of 500 or more employees, but the cost sharing is moving up. So we're adding deductibles, more co-payments, more robust utilization type challenges, as opposed to increasing the percentages of premium contribution.
And I'm going to, again, with your permission, just emphasize that we are at 21%, 20.8% of real dollars contributed by our employees.
Cost share. Cost share. Not premium contribution.
Correct.
Cost share.
Absolutely.
Just want to be clear about that. Okay.
Can
you, we have comparable counties that we've always used. By next week, can you so we can be educated on what's happening out there? Supervisor Rose?
I just wanted to know there was a maximum on this proposal.
No,
there is no maximum to the coal payments. Yes, there are to some of the old ones, and some of those people that are still covered under collective bargaining agreements will still see a maximum in their coal case, particularly
for officers. I'm talking about the maximum today. Wasn't there like $1 million maximum?
Oh, that's been taken off by the federal government.
Oh, what?
Yeah, there's no like 10
There's
maximum.
No life sentence. Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Gantz?
Through the chair. Are you going to have any trouble putting together comparables? Because I would assume that everybody else is going through their budgets, and you really aren't going to know what
I'm
the...
Sure, I'll be able to get something up.
You get, like, plans and what they have in the works or something? Okay, all right.
Any other questions? Thank you. The next item I will... we have on the table is the resolution regarding premium contributions. Is there anybody who would like to make a motion to take it off the table?
Mm-hmm.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Did
you?
I thought you just grumbled.
It's been moved by Supervisor O'Day, second by Supervisor Eckernis. Supervisor O'Day or Supervisor Eckernis?
Where's the resolution?
I don't have the resolution, but essentially Supervisor Decker submitted a resolution that had multiple statistics. I don't know what they are, but called for a 12.9% premium contribution comparable to whatever Act 10 called for, I believe. Is that where that number came from? I think that's what it was.
No.
Okay. I got it here. There's no resolution here. I'm the reverse one.
Okay.
I'll pull back my second.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not off the table.
Oh.
Okay.
Right.
We will go on to what was the last item we're going to talk about?
I got
three more.
Okay, let's hit the non-rep pay plan right now. These are items that are going to be in the budget resolution because they're so, these items have such an impact and are major assumptions within the budget. So we'll have the guidelines for the non-rep pay plan and they'll be incorporated into our resolution. It is 805.
The document I'm passing around was passed around at the Finance Committee on October 13th. It is analysis of the non-rep pay plan. And what we are bringing forward and what we are hoping that the board will do is reinstitute a regular series of step increases for non-represented employees, and their names will change to non-classified employees as soon as you pass the budget. And that, again, is in reference to the fact that we won't have represented employees beyond about those who still have contracts left. The non-rep pay plan, as you have become familiar with, does have a few changes in it, but I did want to highlight the participation and the introduction of regular step increases. The first two pages that you have, probably back-to-back in your copies, is an analysis, a 10-year analysis of the experience of non-classified employees when compared to their classified counterparts. What we did was take a dollar and showed over the course of 10 years what happens to that dollar from represented employees, and then on the last column on the second page, non-represented employees, and what you will find is that non-represented employees have earned 38 cents on their dollars over 10 years, and represented employees have earned anywhere from 90-some cents down to 63 cents. And so we present that just to show you that the non-reps have been ignored with respect to step increases over the past 10 years. And that is why we are proposing a recommitment to non-represented employees. Some of the changes that we have put in on page 2 of the actual document, you'll see under the yellow highlighted areas where we are identifying the step increases for people on the first half, if you will, of any given range. It would be a 3% of the midpoint, 2.5% of the midpoint if you're beyond half, and 1.5 at a max on a merit basis if you are over 110% of the control point. I want to emphasize that these are not percentage increases on the salary. They are a percentage of the middle of every range. And that is what we mean by the control point and the midpoint. Step increases are to be reported to the Finance Admin Committee. That was a amendment that was placed in the non-rep pay plan at the meeting on October 13. You'll see it represented there. And in-range adjustments now are returned to being approved by the Finance and Admin Committee. That, too, is an amendment from the original proposal that we presented on the 13th. Finally, on the next page, on page 4, you'll see that division heads are returned to requiring county board of, approval. Again, that is an amendment that was introduced on October 13th from the original proposal. And on page 5, special assignments are also returned to the approval of the Finance and Admin Committee going forward. Beyond that, the non-classified pay plan does reflect changes in PTO. We are going to a PTO plan. It is on page 11 of your document. New non-classified employees, in effect of January 1, 2013, all other non-classified employees will go to a PTO system of time off. You can see the schedule that we're proposing there. And I can answer any questions about the change between vacation and PTO. The reason it will take till 2013 to fully integrate the PTO plan is because vacation is considered part of the compensation package, and as such, is part of your salary earnings, so that if you quit, we still have to pay out vacation. The same is not true for PTO under the way that we have structured it. The step increases for non-classified employees, the costing for that is represented by the last page in the document that I've distributed.
Mr. Riedel, first of all, I just want to thank you for bringing this forward in a fashion that we could see what the changes are. It's very easy. I think it's telling when you take a look at how the non-reps have been treated over the years. For years, they've always had raises that have been less than what the represented employees have had. Probably about 2004, 2003, after the non-rep pay plan was relatively new, as a county board, we saw really an abuse of what the intention of that plan was as it related to step increases. And it seemed like there was, if you recall, they got a 0.5%, they got 1%, or they got 1.5% based on some sort of evaluation. And when the county board took a look at it, everybody except one or two got 1.5%. And the county board stopped that. And we really haven't never gotten back to address this. I think it's a matter of equity to those non-rep employees to restore their step increases. The step increases are now going to be based on an evaluation. I've certainly had conversations with the county executive. He has used the evaluations as a management tool. Certainly going to challenge those evaluations. I think there's better record keeping, better employee monitoring of events that those evaluations will be challenged. But also, as a part of this plan, is an annual requirement to report how those evaluations or how those step increases were handed out. So we are giving this administration the opportunity to use this tool, and I believe it is fair and equitable, because our county employees still will have step increases. I don't know what the new terminology is. The classified employees will still have step increases. Anybody have any comments? Supervisor Gray.
I tend to concur with your comments, Mr. Chairman. Just as it pertains to page 3, point C, and you were talking about the merit range and so forth, this is the second time we've been through this, and I think I'm beginning to understand how this would work in a practical sense. If we make the recommendation that before we reconvene on Monday, you could present to us at least one or two, maybe three scenarios, three examples of how this would work, you know, using round dollar numbers, so we can take a look at this as a committee and just kind of have a chance to get our collective heads around point C here.
Sure.
Is this to be approved this evening or not?
Yes, and it's going to be referenced and incorporated into our
resolution,
but we're taking up these pieces tonight so we can focus on the other items.
I'll move approval.
It's been moved by Supervisor Rose to approve, seconded by Supervisor Grady. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Are we going to take up the other parts of this presentation?
Yeah, step by step. Yes. Okay.
Compare this.
The chairman will have to call.
Excuse me?
On the health insurance.
We're now going to address the. What, you have two other items to hit yet?
I have two other items.
And those are?
One is the changes in the RFA plan that you have to approve individually, new jobs, et cetera. And then finally, the countywide policies and procedures.
Okay, let's hit the changes, and then we'll hit the countywide policies.
Okay. I'm not going to refer to this document. That's great, if you don't mind, thank you. I brought trees. This document, which was reviewed by the committee, again on October 13th, outlines in some detail the changes that we are proposing in this budget for jobs. Most of them are non-classified position adjustments. And just to tell you what's in the packet, it's a brief synopsis of what we are proposing as changes. You have what we used to call S10 in your budget book, which outlines the fiscal changes as they are presented. And then a job description, or in some cases, organizational chart where necessary, provide you with a little more of a thorough explanation of what is being proposed. I'll run through these quickly, but please stop me if you have questions. We are proposing a position adjustment in the Division of Golf, Department of Public Works, which will eliminate a parks maintenance represented position and introduce a management position, non-classified position, golf equipment manager. This person will be primarily responsible for all of the mechanic work done on lawnmowers and other equipment used at the golf course, and manage two long-term seasonal employees who will aid him in that task. The job will fall into non-rep C. The budget impact is proposed at $65.46, but I would like to put an asterisk next to that $65.46 because we need the job approved before we can actually negotiate with the employee. I'm hoping that we can, with a little bit of latitude on the budget impact, no more than $1,000 and no more than what the employee was earning in years past. In fact, the employee will not earn more than will earn at least $4,000 less than what he had earned in years past, so that we can negotiate his compensation package once the position has been placed in the plan. Under new positions, we are going to expand a long-term seasonal golf coordinator position to a full-time job. We're going to place this in non-rep double A. Double A is, has the reputation of being non-rep light. It involves a single health plan, not a family health plan, and it is a lower paying job just by its very nature. This employee will earn $17 an hour in a salary form. The budget impact for this is $49,812, includes roll-ups and the single health plan. What this person does is schedule golf outings for Brightondale, and the individual has shown a real knack and key for that. Golf outings are very important to the financial health of the golf operation, and so we're going to let this guy do it full time and see if we can increase in that area. The Division of Health is reorganizing to save two full-time equivalents. They're going to knock out two positions, the number of positions which amounts to two positions, and spread the work over their management team. And you will see there that we are changing the director of nursing, which was a vacated position, to a clinical services assistant director position. We are maintaining the assistant director of nursing, but reclassing it to nurse manager at the same general wage. The director of environmental services, and you knew to be Randy Wergen for many, many years. That job is currently vacant, and we are replacing that with a manager of environmental services, yet to be hired. Budget impact is a negative $6,315. And we are changing a one public health sanitarian job to a public health technician. PhD is kind of a free agent, can do a lot of things for the department, and again, that job is being placed in the non-rep light category. Among represented employees, we are proposing that a non-clerical employee in the county clerk's office be reclassified to a senior office associate. She is presently an office associate. She has increased her responsibilities. She has increased her talents as the responsibilities of the county clerk's office have increased with visas and the like. And you'll also know this person to be the person who videotapes your meetings every other Tuesday night. So we are seeking an increase as we have increased her job and her responsibilities and her wage. We're looking to reclass the highway foreman in the Division of Highways to a patrol superintendent. Higher level job, higher level of responsibility. The justification you'll see in the two paragraphs that follow for presentation, in short, is a combination of foreman, patrol superintendent that they are creating in the highway division. One of our highway foremen is still significantly behind his peer group, so we're seeking an in-range adjustment for one of our foremen. The budget impact is $2,200. It is essentially a step increase, which will bring that person within about $3,000 of his peer group. And the general manager of golf operations, we are seeking an in-range adjustment for. Last year, the general manager of golf came before this committee and was told, I think, to come back with a good performance. I believe he's proven that, and we're hoping you will approve this year his in-range adjustment. He also needs to, for the purpose of compression, be ahead of his nearest subordinate, who is the ground supervisor. And finally, we're going to change the name of the business manager of public works, public works assistant. This employee will concentrate more on department issues rather than larger global issues. The administrative responsibility will switch from the Division of Finance to the Department of Public Works. Again, for your review, are all the job descriptions and the reorganization for the health.
had a question. Supervisor Singer. If we pass this and we're making the changes as recommended in the budget, and we do that, are those same people eligible to for the step increases as well?
Yes.
So they could get two raises, basically, ones that are getting raised.
The step increase needs to come back to the committee. Oh, wait, yes. Oh, you're talking staff. I'm thinking of special assignment.
But their supervisor's saying the step increase will occur until next year. The date of this change would occur on January 1st, 2012. So their anniversary date becomes January 1st, 2012. The next step increase would not be in effect until January 1st, 2012.
Okay. That's my question.
It's not a double bump.
Well, that's my question. I wanted to know if these people are getting the same thing as everybody else.
They don't get both.
It's not a double bump.
You get one or the other, and that's it. Okay.
That's why I moved their
supervisor. There's a lot behind that, because when Joe was talking about, the chairman was talking about why it stopped in the first place. It's the step stopped in the first place because at the time, the non-rep pay plan was actually paying 4 and 5%, and then they were also getting a 4 and 5% bump on top of it. And so, you know, yeah, it did. It lost the confidence of the board.
I agree.
And that's why it's important for me to ask a question like that.
Yes, sir. It becomes their new anniversary date becomes January 1st, and so the next increase in wages they could achieve would be January 1st in 2015.
Okay.
That's fine. That would come as a result of a new budget. That's
As long as we're in agreement with that.
Yeah, no double bumps.
Okay, good.
Supervisor Rose.
I have to run across the 2011 golf budget goals from last year amongst some papers that I had, and knowing that this issue would come up tonight, I brought it with me. Were these goals met? I mean, for example, and I'll just read them to you and you can answer. Increase number of players and revenue by 5 to 7%.
I'm not qualified to give those answers, unfortunately. That was presented to you last night, was it not?
The golf budget was. I don't know that we went over how their operation ended up, but they are going to have a loss this year.
Correct.
And that loss is going to be, if I recall, somewhere in the near 200,000.
Correct. That's the last number I've heard.
Yeah, I'll just read these to you. 5 to 7% equal to $150,000 to $175,000. Increase outings from 130 to 145. Increase outing rounds from 6,396 to 6,820. Increase pass holders from 304 to 365. Increase leagues from 39 to 42. Increase the league players from 716 to 760. And increase league rounds from 9,700 to 10,500. And finally, organize and host Wisconsin State Golf Association and Wisconsin PGA events. So, I mean, these are very specific. I don't know the answers to them, but that's the question in deciding whether or not this should be that particular individual should get the increase. And I think since these were submitted to us before, we ought to know the answers to them. And that's all ascertainable.
We had a golf presentation the other night, and I think they talked about the in-range adjustment would have been better to ask that night. I mean, we still can get that information. We'll ask for that. Mm-hmm. We should have that if you can take a note. So when we get to the debate on the county board, or you can have it Monday, so we're at least aware of it, because anything we do tonight is tentative.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as far as the golf proposal goes here, I would move that we postpone that till Monday, and then we get the answers to these. Mm-hmm. Say, I just found this. If you want to make copies of that, Bob, I just found it amongst some of my materials as I was going through some papers today, and it just popped up, and I thought that was relevant for this evening.
The it's been moved, but why don't we get, we'll move this, get that out there, and then maybe you can amend it, or we'll just not act on that part. But also the Parks and Facilities, is that what it's called now? I can't get it straight, but that committee has recommended, actually voted on that, this item with a 5-2 vote. Supervisor Gail Gantz is on that committee and would like to be recognized.
Some of the information that he's looking for was presented at our meeting. I don't have my notes with me from the meeting, so but certainly some of that information can be, I'm sure, provided to this committee on Monday evening. And I think that the thing we talked about too with this increase is the equity issue. I know this has happened before in the county where we have supervisors who are supervising people that are making more money than the actual supervisors. So this is one of those instances, and the person that he does supervise, the gentleman who takes care of the course, and so I think it's also not only what he's accomplished, because he has accomplished a lot of those things that were on the list, but it's also the equity portion that we need to look at as well.
Supervisor O'Day.
You have to go back to when that was put together and when the budget was put together more than a year ago, starting. And he mentioned it the other night in the presentation, too, that I don't think at the time we knew any impact from closing the highway in front of the golf course in Brightondale for the entire season, practically. That definitely would have affected the entire golf course, not his performance, okay? So you have to look at that in relation to what really happened there, too.
Well, Supervisor Williams.
I think we should reserve judgment on it. Let's see what the answers to the questions are, and if he meets the criteria, support it. If he doesn't, don't. So I'm not going to speak either in favor of it or against it. He presented those goals to us. I think it's important to hold somebody to the goals that they set, and here they are. And I think that that's a very objective way of looking at this, rather than kind of debate should he get it or not in some sort of subjective fashion. So I would suggest we reserve it. These are all questions that are easily ascertainable. And let the answers speak for themselves.
Okay. While we have the staff here, I got so many papers flying around, I lost my memo, but I guess we should make a motion to entertain a motion to approve all of the, approve the memo regarding the wage and position adjustments as presented, except for the golf manager, if that's until Monday?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
That's moved by Supervisor Singer, seconded by Supervisor Grady. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Okay. Everything's approved. The last thing we have to do tonight is the policies.
Yes.
On Monday, we're going to do the resolution, and you're going to come back with some of the answers relative to the golf manager so we can address that issue.
Yes.
Thank you.
What's this? On our tree?
Jesus. I got you.
I thought we were done.
Not with this.
Not yet.
Oh, sorry. Once again, Act 10 has put us in a position to establish policies and procedures for our employees. This committee is very familiar with the process.
Excuse me. I just want to get for the tape. It's 8:31. And I sent an email earlier today, and you're going to address what changes from the temporary policies that we adopted for those two units for the county policy.
Very.
Thank you.
So we presented these to you We presented these to you again on October 13th. There have been some adjustments, and I will highlight the changes between the local 70 interim policies and the KAC, I'm sorry, the 990J interim policies as we go forward. First page I would ask you to turn to is 15. Once again, the changes 15. And the things you need to consider are highlighted in either yellow or red. One of the changes that we are proposing in the policies before you that had been amended in the policies that were passed for Local 70 and for 990J was the concept of mandatory overtime. We're reintroducing mandatory overtime. The other policy for Local 70 identifies overtime as being mandatory only for snow and ice removal. And for 990J, it just has a different process for selecting overtime. Again, we are reintroducing mandatory overtime for all employees who are requested to work snow. I'd like to talk about the 171 over 28.
Yes. Why do you support mandatory overtime?
Because a request for overtime should be mandatory. The employees should take it seriously. It would not penalize someone who had a day off or vacation, approved time off for whatever
15.
Reason. But overtime, in our case, when needed, should be responded to. The Fair Labor Standards Act, as you know, we had a lot of talk about this when 990J came up before this committee, allows law enforcement folks to work 171 hours over a 28-day period before earning overtime. That is true for corrections officers and DSOs. It is not true for other employees who work in the jail. The sheriff has come up with an alternative that, through initial analysis, appears to provide the same cost savings that we are seeking with the 171-hour over 28-day overtime. It's estimated that the FLSA 171-28 policy will save the county somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000, maybe a little short of that. The sheriff is proposing a change in schedule, which preliminary assessment would lead us to conclude we'll at least get that much of the savings and maybe more. And so you'll see a double asterisk after overtime in the yellow highlighted area. And I would direct your attention to the italicized red type, which is at the end of that section. For budget year 2012, Kenosha County will implement a 40-hour per week overtime practice, which means employees will earn overtime after 40 hours in the week. And we'll also initiate a 5-2-4-2 work schedule as a means to generate the same level of budget savings as the 171 over 28 overtime policy. 5-2-4-2 is implemented on a one-year trial basis. I'm sorry. With a full analysis of its viability at the end of budget year 2012. The Fair Labor Standards Act overtime and overtime paid on a 171-hour over 28-day basis remains the standard policy during the trial period. It has always been our standard policy, just so you know. And it becomes the responsibility of the Sheriff's Department to manage the 5-2-4-2 in full compliance with that LSA. In short, the folks in finance and my department have been presented with enough evidence by the Sheriff's Department to lead us to conclude that a one-year trial of the 5-2-4-2 is a good idea. We may say this at least as much, if not more, that we would save in a 171 over 28 overtime configuration. Does anybody have questions on that specifically?
Supervisor Sinek.
I would like to move to strike after where it's got hours worked in excess of 40 in one work week, comma, make that a period, strike everything after that.
Where is that?
On page 15.
So what do you read what you're striking?
I want to strike except for those employees covered by the law enforcement exemption and the Fair State Labor Standards Act. Employees covered by the law and enforcement exemption will work 171 hours over a 28-day period for earning overtime, star. because that basically indicates that before that, everyone will be paid in excess of 40 hours on week will be paid time and a half, which is consistent with what we did in the temporary rules.
I'll second it for discussion.
I'm going to ask, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, Dave, to respond to the 171 over 28 being the standard county policy for law enforcement overtime.
First of all, before we do that, I just want to be clear, when we adopted the temporary policy,
yes,
we adopted a 40-hour, not 40-hour work week, not there, overtime after 40 hours mm-hmm. for everybody.
Correct.
Okay. So is it Dave to respond to Mr. Riedel's request?
I can speak to the my understanding is that there's a desire for me to speak to the need to keep the 171-hour overlay as an umbrella over the entire proposal. If you remember, several years ago, there was a lawsuit that occurred related to a leave called Kelly Day. And one of the things that protected us was that we had this 171 hours overlay over the overtime. And that's the system we have today, even when we had the union contracts until the point in time that they expired. We had the 171-hour overlay in place for over a decade. So although this will have no effect, minimal effect on pay to the employees, it protects the county from FLSA violations. So I recommend that we keep this overlay in place. It'll have minimal or nil impact on pay to the county employees and protect the county from possible violations of FLSA.
So you're saying that has been the policy of the county
for over a decade.
Because it's been mandated by the federal rules, and therefore that was a factor in our Kelly Day lawsuit.
Yeah, and it also helped protect us from liability. As you know, we won that case. That was one of the actions we took. And because we took that action, it helped protect us from any liability we might have had we not had this in place.
Will you be able to have an analysis? So this star paragraph, what's the purpose of that asterisk, Rosie, that paragraph?
Purpose is to change the policy. These are policies that will be countywide enforced. You know that the 171 over 28 is proposed because of the savings it will bring in overtime to the overall county budget. In fact, there is a budgeted figure for that of approximately $200,000. The sheriff has proposed that he could save that much money and maintain the 40-hour overtime threshold by changing his schedule. And he has provided enough financial evidence to make us believe it's worth a one-year trial. So I have placed this under a double asterisk in the policy for two reasons, really. One, so that those who come after us will know just exactly why we did this. Budget resolutions have a way to kind of fade off into history, but if this is in the actual policy document, those who follow us in our positions with the county will remember why this happened and how it happened in case we wanted to change it again. So that's why I've included it in the policy, and it is double asterisk, because for now it is specific to 2012, and at this time again next year, assuming it works and it has saved money, we would seek to extend it further. I would.
Point of information. When we look at this document before us, we're looking at the red printing. Is the red printing an addendum that goes along and rides with what's above it, or is it intended to replace what is above it?
The red italicized print, which is that lone standing paragraph,
yes,
replaces the sentence in the paragraph two above it, which starts with employees covered by the law and enforcement exemption to work 171 over 28 days.
Okay, so that's for the red.
Probably my yellow highlighting not.
Yeah, we don't,
no,
have,
we don't have any yellow. We don't have none.
David?
So that
explains. I don't know what happened there, but.
Somebody fell down with the marker.
So that explains the red italicized double asterisk.
Correct.
In general, when we're looking at this document, just the red printing itself, what does that represent?
Changes that I need to explain to you.
Which are in addition to what precedes them?
In this case, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Changes from the temporary policy that we adopted.
And other changes.
And other changes.
Right. Okay.
That are important that you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Supervisor,
okay, the red paragraph replaces that sentence that Supervisor Singer is attempting to delete for 1 year only.
Correct.
Unless it's revisited at the end of next year and it's concluded that that can remain the policy.
It is our intent that we will have a full analysis of the 5242 in time for next year's budget. And we will know if it's worth proposing as a more permanent schedule, a more permanent replacement, if you will, keeping it the same way.
That being,
or going back to a proposal of 171 over 20.
That being the case, I will oppose deleting that sentence.
Supervisor Singer. I'll withdraw my motion and clarify it that I'll approve this red.
The second will
paragraph. But I don't think there's a need to say for budget year 2012 because regardless, we're going to be looking at it to see if it works. And then we can make changes to this policy. And we're going to make changes probably at the next budget hearing next year. So the
budget year 2012 is included to identify that this is a one-year trial.
Because if we just put it down as a one-year trial, and it doesn't get brought up, then it just dies for lack of discussing it. Right? Is that what you're saying?
I specifically want you all to look at it again next year. That's really what I want.
Okay.
I want finance to do an analysis, and all of us to come back and take a good hard look and see if the sheriff has come up with the next greatest schedule for those who work in
town. Right. Okay.
I see it as it takes action to continue it.
That too.
And that's my point.
That's what I mean. It's going to take force you to.
It forces us to look at it.
Right.
That's what I wanted.
Supervisor Underhill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does this lock us in for 1 year? I mean, is say 6 months from now? Can we
can change it anytime.
There's nothing to prevent you from doing that, but we want to get a good sample of how it will work. And that means we have to see how overtime is managed and how the union will tell you that they work actually, I think it's 32 hours less a year under this plan. But there are some weeks that they will work 32 hours. And so there is a voluntary fill in the blank for those who have, you know, the need to fill in the hours. And that's part of the management that the sheriff and the sheriff's department is committed to doing. And that's why we need this one-year analysis. So we're hoping to get a one-year sample.
I was just getting it out there. That's all.
If it explodes and it goes crazy,
we can do it.
The sheriff has indicated that he would give the opportunity for them to work the additional 8 hours in that week that they only have 32 hours. That's what was explained to us. It's in our minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, we have the presentation. It looks promising. I got to tell.
Dave has a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think everyone understands this, but I just want to be clear that the policy, although it has the 171-hour overlay, we still will pay overtime for anything over 40 hours in a week.
Okay.
So that still will be policy of the county in this case.
Continuing on.
Thank you. The red type at the end of that paragraph that we have talked about reads as follows. Classified employees who work as professional, and that would include social workers, public health nurses, juvenile intake workers, et cetera, may be compensated by salary at the discretion of county administration. We are going to investigate a professional exemption for our professional employees who were formerly represented. And that would put them in the salary earnings category. So what this does is allow the administration to do the analysis of that, determine whether or not it's the county's best interest to have a professional exemption for those who work in professional areas. The other red line under classified employees references that department's division with classified employees exempt from overtime and comp time may establish adjustable or flexible hour schedule. So you're not adopting the salary for professionals, but we think it's in our best interest to take a look at that. On page 18 is the next change. It's a safe harbor policy. It involves how non-classified work week is affected by the Fair Labor Standards Act and the like. On page 19, you will see that we have qualified paid time off. Many of our employees will be coming off a vacation type of time off status and going to paid time off. If they have accrued vacation, that is an earned benefit. It's a benefit that we would owe them money for if they quit. So under the paid time off policy, for those coming off a vacation accrued schedule and going to paid time off, there will likely be a combination of vacation days and paid time off days so that the accrual can be exhausted in that transition year, and then we would go completely to a bank time, paid time off. And you'll see later on in the policy, or if you have read it already, it would not require cash out of an employee which resigned. On page 20, we have capped the number of days an employee can have off at 30 days. We discussed the long-term employee exemption from this paid time off policy, and that many of our employees, some of whom have worked in excess of 25 years, have earned 30 days vacation. We found a few out there who have earned more than 30, but we are seeking to cap that to 30 days. It is as much of an administration advantage as anything else. On page 21, at the bottom of the page, you see a change. Big family medical leave will run concurrently with accident and sickness leave as it does now, in accordance with the county's family medical leave policy. Cap 4 PTO to fill in for FLSA leave. So on the following, you're right, definitely. Thank you. So you'll see the continuation of that on page 22. Employees will be charged accrued earned vacation to cover the year whenever the leave does not qualify for FMLA. That is the extent of the changes from October 13th approval. And that also covers all changes from the interim policies that you passed this summer to after that.
Move approval.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor Ekinis. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. We covered everything for tonight.
Did we take action on the
correct, we know we did not take action on
the health care?
No.
I move approval of the health care plan.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Grady on the health care plan. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We will be in recess until Monday.
Okay, I gotta have a couple peanut butter. Sure.
Yeah. I'm here since Chicago. I'm here. It's the Youth and Governance is in Chicago.
Okay, I was gonna distribute the resolutions, make some comments, and then we'll take this up Monday night at 6 o'clock.
So what I have here is a copy of the 2012 resolution. The finance and administration, in between the two resolutions, is the changes that have been made by this committee up to this point.
Anybody want to?
The summary sheet here, changes made by the committee. And then, the for your reference, the 2011 budget resolution.
Okay. Okay, we'll be in recess until right, Monday at 6 o'clock. It is now 8:52.
Oh, well, then.
There you go.
No,
that scared me. I thought we were in for another half hour.
I thought we were, too.
Something to go home and read.
Never done.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Pick some M&Ms.
No, I'm good. I had two.
Did you eat some?
What?
Did you eat some?